Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Exciting times for sports fans. Super Bowl 52 is Sunday in Minnesota. The Bucks are seeing their fortunes improve after parting ways with their head coach. And it's been a busy hot stove season for the Brewers, and the Winter Olympics start next week.
All of this is fair game for Lake Effect contributor Sean Ramft, managing editor for the website, The Sports Post. Hey, Sean, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. I know it's been a while.
It has. We have quite a lot of sports to get through and not a ton of time to get through it, so let's get started quickly. Super Bowl 52. 52, right?
52.
52 is this Sunday in Minneapolis. It may not get a ton of attention here in Wisconsin because it features neither the Green Bay Packers nor one of the Packers' traditional rivals. But for people who do choose to tune in, such as New England sports fans like myself, to watch the Patriots play the Eagles, what do you think? Are they going to be treated to an exciting game?
I think so. You know, all postseason long, I've kind of been wishy-washy on the Eagles. You never know which Nick Foles is going to show
There's
up.
There's the big question mark.
And he struggled a lot against Atlanta. But once they got past Atlanta, I thought they'd surprise the Vikings. I didn't expect them to demolish the Vikings. That was a bit of a surprise. But at the end of the day, it's really hard to pick against the Patriots. I think it's going to be close. But after last season, too, it's just you can't count them out ever. And last – or 2 weeks ago against the Jaguars, down 10 points in the fourth against the best defense in the AFC, and the Jaguars didn't score the rest of the way. So it's going to be fun, and the Eagles really, really would love to win one, and this is a rematch of several years ago, and they still have not won a Super Bowl yet. So,
and so the big question marks for you, which Nick Foles shows up and the status of Tom Brady's possibly still sort of sore throwing
hands?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Brady's going to be fine.
He seemed fine against the Jaguars.
He was just fine against the Jaguars, yeah. I know he said afterwards he was worried that he wouldn't play, but I was pretty confident he was going to play against the Jaguars. I'm a little less confident that Gronkowski's going to play against the Eagles, but I still think he's going to be cleared in time. I'm not surprised that they're taking it slowly and saying, well, he's on the injury report. And I know he's still in concussion protocol, too. As for Nick Foles, if the version that was half as good as the one that showed up against Minnesota shows up, they still have a chance. I just don't expect him to throw for almost 400 yards and four touchdowns against the Patriots. But who knows?
You know, it's interesting to point out that if you look back at all the Patriots' Super Bowl wins, none of them have been one-sided.
No, none. And they always start really slowly, too. I know there's a stat where the only first quarter points they have scored, well, they actually haven't scored them. It was a safety against them, which is baffling to me. But yeah, it'll be close. And then in the fourth quarter, Philadelphia sports fans will have their hearts broken. But
that is your prediction.
You know, that is my prediction. Yeah.
Well, we should note, it sounds like in all likelihood, both the Patriots offensive and defensive coordinators are going to be turning over after the season, after the Super Bowl, to go on to head coaching jobs elsewhere. We just saw turnover at that level on the basketball court here. Jason Kidd was fired not too long ago as coach of the Milwaukee Bucks and replaced by assistant coach Joe Prunty, which seemed like an interim move, a very kind of interim, we'll see how it goes, move at first.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been wanting Jason Kidd fired for a pretty long time, and this season those voices grew a little bit louder.
His mortal sin was...
It seemed like communication with his team was the biggest issue, or just lack thereof, and he seemed to just rub everybody the wrong way, which I know is what happened in Brooklyn, too. And the assistant, yeah, it's probably an interim move. They are 4-0 since he took over, and their defense has been noticeably better. But that seems to happen a lot when there's a coaching change. The first couple weeks, the team's kind of fired up, and they're playing for the new guy. I don't know how much longer that's going to last, but they are better than what their record indicated under Kidd this season. They have too much talent on that team to be middling at 500 levels. So,
you know, so it seems like one of those things where if it's an interim move, knowing that the Bucks have been playing so well under Prunty does not make it a desperate situation to find the right guy and instantaneously.
No, I think they should wait until the off season. Also, there's going to be a lot of turnover, as there always is, with coaching jobs. And a lot of people are probably going to want to be coaching the Milwaukee Bucks, which is a weird thing to say.
Radical paradigm shift
here. A few years ago,
here.
Probably not, but they have a superstar here still, and someone's going to want that job.
Well, so can you kind of give us a comparison of before and after, where the Bucks were when Jason Kidd took over and where he left them?
Well, I mean, they were an absolute mess when he took over. It was more of a rebuilding effort, and he did lead them to 2 playoff appearances in 3 of his seasons. So by that measure, he did fine. A lot of people will say that they could have done more with Giannis and Middleton. But I feel like he took them as far as he could take them. I don't think he's cut out for bringing them to the next level. I know a handful of people in the Milwaukee area like to compare him to Mark Jackson of the Golden State Warriors before Steve Kerr took over. I don't know if I'm ready to quite say that.
Seems kind of optimistic,
also,
doesn't it?
Also, yeah, the Warriors' talent at that time, a little bit more across the board than the Bucks. But you never know. I don't think, obviously, they're going to just run the table the rest of the season under Prutney. But, yeah, I feel like he just took this team as far as he could. I don't think he's cut out to coach at a high level. So,
but it does seem at this point, regardless of Jason Kidd, Milwaukee is on the basketball map in a way that it was not a few years
ago. Yeah, it's having a superstar will do that. And I mean, it's not just Giannis either. Also, in the games since Kidd has been fired, Brogdon and Middleton have stepped up considerably. I know Middleton just won Player of the Week for the East, and he had been a little disappointing this season too. So I don't know. Everyone's kind of excited about the Milwaukee Bucks, which 3 to 4 years ago, not so much.
Speaking of a little bit of excitement, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I was expecting quite as busy an offseason as far as the outfield goes for the Milwaukee Brewers, a kind of radical makeover in just the last week or two.
Yeah, I expected them to go after one, and I thought Yelich made the most sense. I knew it would be a little expensive.
This is Christian Yelich.
Yeah,
Christian Yelich,
formerly of the Miami Marlins, who...
Everybody's formerly
with
the Miami Marlins.
Exactly. With Yelich now, I think they just have one more guy that doesn't want to be there, and that's it. But, yeah, entering the offseason, the Brewers had a lot of payroll space. They have a lot of depth in their farm system, and I figured improving the outfield by going after him was realistic. I didn't expect that 30 minutes after they announced Christian Yelich, they announced the Lorenzo Cain signing for 5 years, which he was formerly drafted by the Brewers, traded
right.
for Zach
Had a cup
Greinke.
Of coffee here.
Yeah, had a cup of coffee here, and then we traded him to the Royals in the Zach Greinke deal. So it's kind of cool that two of our biggest deals involving Lorenzo Cain, one's bringing him back here. I don't know how that's going to work because now the Brewers have 5 or 6 major league available outfielders. Ryan Braun's probably not going to move because that contract is hard to move. And
they've talked a little bit about whether Ryan Braun could fill in at first
base.
Yeah,
and then that also kind of bounces Eric Thames and Jesus Aguilar around. They've got a lot of depth, which is good. I'm sure they are looking to find a pitcher if they can move one of their outfielders.
Beyond the offseason signing of former Brewers ace Yovani Gallardo.
The invite to MLB camp, yeah. if he can turn it around from the last 4 years just to eat up some innings, that'd be great. But with Jimmy Nelson out until only June maybe, they're really optimistic about that. They still need to go after a starting pitcher, so they should maybe look to move one of their outfielders. And they're still reportedly in the mix for Yu Darvish, which would be an incredible offseason for the Brewers if they could sign Kane, acquire Yelich, and sign Yu Darvish in the same offseason. This is not anything that has really happened before with Milwaukee. So
it does seem a little bit like the Brewers rebuilding phase is maybe a year or two ahead of where we might have expected
yes.
it to be.
I don't know how many people expected them to win 86 games last season. I know all season as it kept going along and it looked super fun, I just kept thinking there's going to be a point, and they hit a rough patch a little after the break, but they rebounded pretty quickly. And it makes sense to me now. They're not making any rash decisions either. They still have plenty of depth. I know people were a little upset to lose like Brinson and Harrison, but that's the cost for an outfielder like Yelich, who's in his mid-20s and still under control for 5 more years. And the NL Central isn't great. I mean, you have the Cubs, which obviously the Cubs will probably win the division, and if they don't, the Brewers might win it. They just need some pitching. The Cardinals, you never know. They're right there too, but the Reds are tearing it down, and the Pirates have already started tearing it down this offseason too. So it's there to be won, and they were only a game out of the wild card last year.
So we could be looking, you know, again, we're having this conversation as February is just starting, and we're just a couple weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. A lot more people are going to be paying attention to Maryvale than we might have expected.
Yeah, it's really exciting. All Milwaukee sports teams right now seem to be garnering a lot more excitement than usual. So.
And finally, let's mention the Winter Olympics here, which are about to get underway in South Korea. Some good Milwaukee connections to the Winter Olympics. The U.S. National Long Track Speed Skating Team held its Olympic trials at the Pettit Center in Milwaukee not too long ago. And also, the long track team has been practicing at the Pettit Center as well. So a lot of people from the Milwaukee area had a chance to see some Olympic caliber and Olympic qualified skaters in their own backyard. Another guy who skates a lot in the Milwaukee area is Bobby Butler of the Milwaukee Admirals, who is actually going to be representing the United States on the U.S. Olympic hockey team. Any particular sports that you look forward to for the Winter Olympics?
You know, I don't know if it's the thing to say every time this rolls around, but I am fascinated when I watch curling. Always. It's very fun for me to watch.
I think the captain of the U.S. Men's team is from Superior.
Well,
so
there you go.
There's a Wisconsin connection.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's quite as easy as saying it's shuffleboard on ice, because obviously it's not that easy. But it's just very fascinating, very fun for me to watch. So I will definitely slot some time for curling when the Winter Olympics roll around.
We are happy to slot some time for you, Sean Ramft. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Sean Ramft is the managing editor for the website The Sports Post, and he is a Lake Effect contributor. We'll be right back.